right. Good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And someone said, define good, Brother Justin. Well, still alive and kicking. and so if you're still alive and kicking, it's been a good week. But anyway, so good to be here and good to see everybody. And glad we've had some decent weather. Of course, we could use some rain, and I'm sure it's on the way sooner than later. But anyway, I want to jump right into things and give you some updates, mention some folks. And then, of course, we'll have a time of prayer together in the altar. And looks like Brother Jeff is getting one ready, song ready, that is. Here in just a few moments, and so looking forward to that. We've been staying in touch with Brother Michael Bendy and Miss Shauna, and not sure if they're watching tonight, but if they are, we're going to have a special prayer for them again here in a little while. She actually had an emergency surgery, I believe it was yesterday. They went in her nasal cavity and put a stent. And from what I gather, and bless his heart, what Brother Michael gathers from all this is that, and what Miss Shauna gathers is that the brain is or her spine has too much fluid on it. Her brain is producing, and from what they say, the doctors say that whenever, if there's an excess amount of fluid on the spine coming from the brain, it can cause stroke-like symptoms. She actually, Michael said, couldn't see yesterday. She was blind. And so these are some severe things that are going on with Miss Shauna. And so by putting that stent in, they were going to put a shunt in. So they're trying to do the stent first. The shunt would actually reroute everything to actually, and this is kind of going in a little bit of graphic detail, but it's all the human body. That shunt would reroute everything so that that extra fluid can tie into her urethra and come out, you know, when you use the restroom instead of going on her spine and causing these severe symptoms. That's a lot to deal with. And so, again, they for the shunt, they wanted to try this stent, hoping that it would just, I really don't know what that would do. I mean, if you think about it, that would cause a flow increase. But they're the doctors, and I'm not, so they know what they're doing. But Michael said that when they put it in, the nasal cavity up in there, that she started to be able to see a little better. But then it went back, it went kind of started going black, everything going black again. And so we really don't know. We really don't know. But I told Michael that, of course, we'd definitely have prayer for her again tonight when we pray. So if you guys are watching, we love you, and we are praying for you. And I'm used to looking right here at the camera, so now I'm kind of looking this way. But anyway, praying for you guys. Hope to see you soon. Miss Ruby Harper, talked with her yesterday, and her cancer is in two different places, breast cancer and in her lymph nodes. I was texting with Brother Steve, and where it's at is kind of like behind the ear in this area, I'm thinking. And so she covers our prayers. She's getting ready to go back to the doctor. You know, I didn't ask her age, but does anybody know how old Miss Ruby is? Ruby Harper? Okay. Well, she's dealing with this, and I told her we'd have special prayer for her tonight, too. So we'll just have our normal prayer, but we'll pray audibly tonight and lift these up. Got a hand up in the back.
And her
Good. We sure will, Miss Pam. How's Brother Mike doing?
He's good. He
good. Right. Okay. Well, we'll be continuing to pray for her recovery. Thanks for mentioning that. Does someone else have a hand up? I know we hadn't. I'll open up the floor in just a moment. Brother Dave, no, you go ahead, bro. Go ahead. You're. Okay. Anyone else while we're here? Absolutely. Praise the Lord on that. Yeah, Brother Don mentioned a few things to me earlier, and so we pray for her future appointments, if that's what the route she has to go, and building the iron back up, I think. We praise the Lord for that one. That's a big, big prayer request. Praise. I know it was probably, I don't know, a couple years ago. When Lily was a baby, yeah, that yearly checkup at the pediatrician. Toddler, it's automatic. I know we need to be at the pediatrician. And then, when she went over into 13 and now 14. Well, teenager, things just got busy, and I'm, was a little late in going, about 6 months late, which is fine. Nothing was hurting, and she was fine. But we went, and she was listening to her chest, and I want to tell you, sometimes these scares come out of nowhere. She said, I said, is everything okay? Oh, yeah, everything's fine, except... there's a little bit of air when I listen to her heart. It's like a when the heart's pumping, and there's not supposed to be no air. And that just, she could just have a tiny hole in her heart. And I'm thinking, okay, if you just knew who you were talking to. When she has a bad day at school, I'm pampering her with everything there is. And I said, tiny hole in her heart. She goes, yeah, a lot of young kids have that, and they can live with it, they're fine. So we went, to the heart doctor, and doctor went in, listening and all that, and he said, okay, Mr. Hales, he said, one or two things, it's a tiny hole or it's a big hole. Can't make no leadway, no headway with this thing. And, Lily, she's over here swinging her legs off the table and just, smacking gum. And I'm over here melting, I got to know what's going on. And so they did a couple of tests while they're x-rays and all, and they said there was no hole there at all. They just, it's one of those things. And so, I don't know. That's just too much of a roller coaster for me. My checkup not long after that. It seems like my blood pressure medicine they changed it to a higher dose. But I told the Lord leaving that day, I said, I can't be doing this. I can't stress like this. This is going to kill me. Just, hearing words, something like that, stressing over that bad, it was just terrible, terrible. And Christy and I, we were talking about this new school year. I'll say this and we'll continue. I said, she's in high school this year. I said, Christy, I want to tell you, I'm not going to stress like I did last year with that girl down there at that schoolhouse. I mean, every little gnat I was straining at, I mean, every little thing. I was down there. I was talking. We need to talk this out. We need to, what's going on? Who said this? Because I'd pick her up, and she wouldn't talk. And then later that night, she'd start talking, and well, this girl said this about me, and I said, well, I thought y'all were friends yesterday. We were, and we're trying to be today, and it's just crazy. So I told her, I said, I am not going to stress this year. I'm making a point to try not to take this stuff so seriously. And I told her today, going down the road in the car, I said, Lily, I want you to know, this coming up school year, you're going to have to fight some of your own battles, honey. I said, you're going to have to, because it's killing me. Because they, you know how they are in school. They'll have these little tiffs, and the next day they're together eating lunch. So anyway, I don't know why that came out tonight. It just did. But back to Krista. That's how it all started. Can't mess around with the heart. All right. Does anybody have any other requests or any updates before I start reading from the bulletin? Okay, if you do, you can always take your hand up. But let's continue to remember Brother Dom and Miss Carla as they're here. They were away last Sunday to North Carolina to a couple churches, so glad y'all had safe travels there and back. Richard Martin, I don't think he was here this past Sunday. Everybody's entitled to miss a Sunday. My thing is when they miss two, I normally try to call or check. But let's pray for him and his wife, Deborah, and her kidney trouble. You miss Ruby Harper, Gerald Carroll, which has been back with us. Miss Mary Ann, feet surgery.
Well, yeah.
And one knee surgery coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in a rebuilding phase.
It's going to be over a period of time.
Okay. Okay.
I'll find out about my feet on Friday.
Both of them, right? Or one of them? That's good. I'm telling you what. Be careful. So we'll remember you on that, and just let us know as the story develops. And Miss Mary Rich and her elbow. She's doing a little bit better and better, and that's good. Miss Cece, Randy and Diane Ely, our children's home, and again, let's pray for them and our house parents, faculty, and staff over there. And good to see Miss Tammy along with us tonight as well, and that's Miss Pam, and. Saying the children's home, bringing that up, we have Camp Ivy launching out this coming up Sunday. Is that in the morning, I guess, after the morning or morning service? So let's pray for our young people as they go to Camp Ivy, which was named after the late Brother Johnny Ivy. Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Brother Bobby is better, just waiting a little longer to come back. David and Glenda Henderson, of course, Heidi and the COVID recovery. Brother David just mentioned Brother Harold Dolph. He was sick Sunday. I reached out to him today. Hadn't heard back. Leonard Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Mary Kelly, the Dailies, including the Ashworths as well. Just remember them, Rebecca, etc. Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. Let's remember Miss Claudia in our prayers, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, those serving in the military, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, and then Kevin Brook, which is be going back to Champion Christian College probably in August, thereabouts. And let's remember our shut-ins. Anybody else, anything else? Any praises? Brother Don. Praise the Lord.
Each of our churches, one saved at one church and one baptized at another.
All right.
At the same time, I ask prayer for our Guadalupe church because it's still very small and struggling for people to be faithful. But
yes.
It is to win souls. Just get them in there and get them faithful.
Amen, brother. And praise the Lord. I seen that on Facebook this week, and that was amazing. That was awesome. Lord's still saving souls. And may have to have some missionaries from Peru come over here to the U.S. and tell us what's what. But I tell you, it's just the hearts. I've never been on a mission trip, of course, wanting to go one day. But I hear the hearts in different places outside the U.S., different countries are more pliable or open. Not all of them. But said that to say this, in America, the hearts of Americans are just getting hard over here. And so just pray that the same will take place here in our land. But we praise the Lord for the soul saved there. All right, anybody else? All right, let's remember CLU this coming up Sunday. Got a wonderful guest speaker speaking. And so be sure, ladies, you show up for that to hear this magnificent speaker. And also deacons meeting at the same time. Got some things we're going to talk about then. And then Youth Sunday coming up on the 24th, the following Sunday. Brother Brian in the morning, Brother Keith Brook in the evening. And then the last Sunday night fellowship on the 31st, Brother CJ will bring the devotion at that time as we eat and then have a devotion. Camp Ivy this Sunday, as I mentioned a moment ago, the 17th through the 22nd. And then Christmas in July, I should back up, on the 23rd Saturday, if you're 50 and over. And a fellowship hall at 1 o'clock. Bring a $10 wrapped gift, and you may hear jingle bells. May not, I don't know. What if you feel 50? Can you go? All right. All right. Let's remember these things tonight, and if that's all we have, we'll all meet in the altar, all that can and would, and we'll have a time of prayer together. And then I think Brother Jeff has a song for us. And so Brother Jeff be coming up here in just a moment. I do want to have a time of, we normally have silent prayer, but we'll have audible prayer tonight. And I'll lead us. Brother Don, Rich, you want to close us out? Okay. So we'll just take our time and lift up these requests. Shauna, Miss Ruby, and Krista as well. Dear Lord, we come tonight with thankful hearts. We are just humbled, Lord, at the opportunity to come and teach and speak your words one more time before your people, Lord, before my church family, but not only church family, but those watching on Facebook. We always pray that you would work in their lives as well. God, tonight we lift up Miss Shauna Bendy in prayer. We know that she's been struggling for some time now with these body problems. Doctors not really knowing until now. She had a procedure. She had surgery. I pray that you'd touch this stent, Lord, and let it do its job. I pray you'll give her eyesight back. Lord, I pray that she would just recover in health. And, Lord, that you'd touch Michael as well, having to work every day and take care of his wife. That you'd touch that family. Be with them. Get them back in church when they're ready and they're feeling like they could focus. And God, tonight we pray for Miss Ruby that you touch her, be with her. Lord, you know exactly her frame, God. You know, Lord, how long she's been on this earth, what she's dealing with, where her body's at right now. This cancer is not too big for you. We just pray that your will be done, that you would perform, Lord, a miracle and touch those areas where that cancer is. Be with Brother Steve and the family and all during this time, Lord. Give them strength to emotionally support her. And Father, we thank you for the report, Miss Krista. God, I pray that you'll continually work with her iron infusions and medications and doctor visits, however the future looks with this situation. But we do thank you that there was nothing big, Lord, or life-altering. Lord, any news from Monday, just be with her. And Lord, be with Stephen and the kids. Touch them. Give them fruit for their labor where they're serving at. And God, tonight we just pray for all these other requests. You know, every person, every life, every situation. Be with the campers as they go on Sunday. I pray, Lord, that you would save them if they're not saved, whoever they may be, and just draw them close to you. And we look forward to hearing testimony when all the campers are back. And Father, we just thank you for Calvary. We thank you for Calvary Baptist Church as well. Meet with us tonight in a mighty way. Brother Don. Yes. appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff, I guess after, I don't know, we were out of church for so long, we all started coming back, and then Brother Jeff took it upon himself to play a song, whether by guitar or harmonica, as we started Wednesday nights. So I appreciate that, brother. I sure do. All right. Tonight we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. One verse, maybe two, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. I'm glad we can laugh a little in God's house, aren't you? Come together and laugh a little bit. That's always good. And I want to mention one verse here, the content of the lesson tonight. I don't think I'm going to be that long, but who knows how that would go. And also the content tonight, I understand that I'm speaking to those who are of age and mature in the faith. But at the same time, I think that God still has a word for us here. So we're going to mention what God laid on our heart today. And then, again, we may be 10 minutes, we may be 30 minutes. It's whatever he wants. I do want to bow for another word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse 18 out of 2 Peter 3. Father, one more time we come to you, thankful hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help me to think clearly. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help me to rightly divide your word, and I pray that you would apply your word to every person in here. And, Father, we're just thankful again for this opportunity to stand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." That one verse for now. You could kind of see why I was kind of hesitant, or at least I introduced what I was going to speak on for a few minutes tonight the way I did, because I'm looking at, from what it looks like, a mature, spiritually aged crowd. And not old, just aged. Aging. We're all aging. And, but you know, just because you're aging in age physically doesn't necessarily mean you're aging spiritually. And so the Lord spoke to me about this verse today, and I personally want to continue to grow spiritually. I'm trying not to grow anymore physically. God knows my heart. I'm trying to not grow in width. I can't grow in height anymore. I'm done with that. So I want to grow spiritually. And this November 19th, I believe it'd be back in 2002. I believe it's my 19th year, if my mind serves me correctly, being saved. 19 or 20, right there, one of them. And I like to think that I've grown since the day I got saved. And one thing I've learned and learning is that God doesn't always show you, or at least he doesn't always allow me to know how much I've grown, if I have grown, because I might get prideful or arrogant and I may try to have a little stride in my walk. And so God continues to put us through his school, all of us, and he allows us to experience hard things. He allows us to experience good things, pleasant things, so that we'll be balanced Christians. You know, it takes the rain, but it also takes the sunshine for things to grow properly. It takes both. And so the same thing in our life spiritually. It takes the rain of adversity and the sunshine of God's face and good times, pleasant times, in order for us to be a balanced person. And so let me say this. For Christmas 3 years ago, for Lily, I was on my phone and I was looking on Amazon. You know, Amazon could be a great thing. Just don't let it get out of hand, of course. And I found these bonsai trees that I wanted to buy Lily. And I thought that I was buying these bonsai trees. I think there were two or three of them. Really small little trees. I thought that I was buying them already grown. And so I got them in the mail. And I looked at them, unwrapped the package, and made sure everything was there before I wrapped it for her for Christmas. And it had these flower pots and just a big packet of seeds. And so, my goodness, there went that plan. It had prune snippers, I mean, real little ones. And, you know, we was going to have this daddy-daughter time, you know, and around the bonsai tree. Just, you know, bringing some Bible verses with it and all, and teach her some things. Nothing but seeds. And I got to reading about this. And it said, in order for me to have one bonsai tree, it'd take close to 10 years. I mean, I don't know if that was exaggeration. I don't know if that was a special kind of bonsai tree. But that growth was going to take a long time. 10 years, my goodness. So she's 14 now, about to be 15. She was 12 at the time, I believe, 12 when I actually got it. And so she would be, I guess, what, 24? By the time that bonsai tree would be there and I'll start teaching her them Bible lessons. And so that was just a little, it took me back. And the whole idea of that is no matter how bad I wanted a bonsai tree, it was just going to take some time to get it, unless I bought one somewhere else already grown. Well, the Bible tells us to grow. It tells us to grow. It tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to achieve different virtues, wants us to be able to be patient, wants us to be able to show kindness and really just be able to stretch us and use us in our lives. He wants us to grow in that capacity. And He wants us to grow in experience. He wants us to experience Himself. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Him and His Word, but He also wants us to grow in knowledge of Him in just life experiences, to learn that He's faithful, to learn that He can be trusted, to learn that He knows better. And so when we're growing in these areas, then the Bible actually says that we're not lacking in fruit. I believe it's chapter number 1. I believe it is. Let's see. Yeah, it says in chapter number 1 of 2 Peter and verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, with that said, I want to talk to you on this subject. Growth comes gradually. Growth comes gradually. Now, the context is exactly that in this verse. It's about growth. But at the same time, I want us to think about some areas in our life that's not coming as fast as we'd like for it to come. I don't know, some physical things we want to get ironed out. Some spiritual things we want to get ironed out. Some financial things we want to get ironed out. Some things that aren't happening as fast as we'd like for them to. Well, again, within the context of this verse, he's talking about spiritual growth. But on the same token, this could be a principle with other things. If you want to build a house, you don't just throw it together. You get a blueprint together. You find a lot of land where you want to build. You have a blueprint, and then you start discussing material and cost, and then finally, months down the road, you start to actually build. And so this principle is there still, is that growing takes time. Whether you're building a building, that takes time. Whether you're building a business, a company, that takes time. And no, as the Bible says, no stone shall be unturned. We need to make sure that we're turning over every stone and looking at everything as we build and as we grow. And so tonight, growth comes gradually. Really just allow the Holy Spirit tonight to speak to your heart in whatever area that you may be seeking Him in. Three things in this verse, or at least two things in this verse, one from chapter number one. But when it comes to growth, time is definitely has to do with this. Notice the word grow, just the word grow in verse 18. He says, but grow. Now, the word grow here, it means to enlarge. Let me say this tonight, that if I eat one slice of cake, okay, the scale won't be able to tell the difference, you know, tomorrow. But if I eat the whole cake, there will be a difference in that scale. If I eat a slice of cake once or twice a week, that scale will probably stay the same as long as I'm moving and doing things. But if I continue to eat them slices of cake, two a week, and then three a week, then four a week, then five a week, if I do that, and I don't do it that much, and then I eat a cake a week, and then fried chicken, and all these greasy foods, I'm not going to grow overnight, but I'm on my way to growing to be a hefty size. And the same thing with growth here. He says, but grow. It means to enlarge. And this is something that takes time. Growth takes time. God doesn't expect a newborn Christian to have the knowledge or wisdom of a much older Christian. I mean, the same way that a baby is born into this world, you can't just sit down a steak right in front of that baby. They won't know what to do with it. A newborn baby, you can't even sit up. It's an infant. It has to have milk. And so there's a process. You put that baby on the milk, and it stays on the milk. And then finally it reaches a place where that milk doesn't suffice. It needs a little more substance. And so then it starts to cry and gabber and ooh and aw and, you know, just really, really try to make its appeal that it needs something with a little more taste and substance to it. And so then mom and dad figures out that he's ready for some solid food, he or she. Same thing in our life spiritually. We have to grow. We come into this world spiritually as newborn babes, and we're on the milk of the word. You know, Jonah and the whale, John 3:16, learning those elementary things. I didn't learn of Jonah and the whale till I was 21, and that was an amazing thing to learn about Jonah and the whale. And so, but then there comes a point where you got to dig deeper in God's word to get fed like you need. And so there's this hunt, there's this search for fulfilling yourself with the things of God. And it just takes time. It takes time to grow to be the person God wants us to be. And so when it comes to growth and growing, that comes gradually, it takes time. He says, but grow. Again, the illustration of the bonsai tree I used, you know, 10 years I'll have one. You know, I look at different men in my life that times past and even present, and 40, 50, 60 years old, 70 and 80 years old, who's been walking with the Lord for a long, long time, and I desire to have that kind of walk they have. But there's one thing about it. It takes experience. It takes time. It takes diligence and effort to get to where they're at. And so it just takes time tonight. And the other thing is, whatever in our life is there that's active and we're concerned about, again, whether it's something financially or maybe maritally, maybe it's something with our kids or things we have that's going on in life. Things take time. You know, I used to be such of a rushed person. I want it done now. This problem has to be solved by the time I go to bed tonight. Got to have this done now because I got to do that tomorrow. I used to be a now person. But I guess through learning and through failure and through a little bit of success, God has been teaching me that things take time. Just be diligent. Be on it. Be in step with it every day. Keep your eye on it. Keep your finger on the pulse of whatever you're doing. So really, I see a principle here when he says, but grow. In the actual definition of that word grow, meaning to enlarge. So the principle is it just takes time to grow. It takes time to grow. Now, the second thing is not only time we see in this verse, but we see a responsibility. He says, but grow. But grow. Okay, we know he wants us to grow, but then he puts the but in front of it. But grow. And so tonight we know the subject matter is growth. And we know that takes time. And now he says we have a responsibility to do it. So he has the word grow out there and he kicks it. Go. Go and grow. Now, these are orders that's given to us as believers that we're to grow. And growing and getting to where we want to be or hitting the mark where we feel like God wants us, where God wants us to be spiritually, doesn't happen automatically. We're not just going to grow to be the man or the woman of God that God wants us to be automatically. It's not just going to happen. Okay? It takes responsibility. And so in years we will grow, but not necessarily in maturity unless we're being responsible about it, unless we are taking heed to God's word, unless we have a prayer life, unless we are looking at our situations in life through the lens of the scriptures and to know God has something else going on in this situation. Now, how do you think someone who's learned or a person that's rich gets that way? Do you think that they got rich overnight? Do you think a well-learned person, let's just say, let's just use Michael Harris on the Braves, all right? Michael Harris on the Braves was a prospect. And he I don't believe, went to any college from high school to AAA, and now he's in the big leagues. And, man, he is hitting that ball. He is hitting homers. He is in the field. He is they showed a video clip where Andrew Jones, the old Braves player, center fielder, Hall of Famer, his jaw dropped because of the skill Michael Harris had. And so do you think that, now there's some natural talent, but do you think that he got to where he's at just by waking up and just, you know, doing whatever he wants to do? No. He was being responsible. He fueled that fire. He played ball daily. He watched what he ate, exercised, worked on his hitting, worked on his throwing, worked on his fielding. He was being very, very responsible. And now he wears a pair of cleats that says on one of the heels, money, and on the other one it says Mike. Money Mike. Because the way that boy is hitting that ball, the way he's fielding, he's going to make some money. But that didn't just happen overnight. It took some careful diligence. It took responsibility. And so if we're going to be where we desire to be, where we want to be, where we know God wants us to be, then we're going to have to, again, be responsible. And I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. But there may be something that needs to be heard tonight with this lesson. But responsibility when it comes to growth coming gradually. Now, there's another word, and that's the word determination, which is cousins to responsibility. But turn back, if you would, to chapter number 1 for just a moment. Again, he says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know it takes time to grow. We know we must be responsible to grow. But then there's a determination. Again, second cousins with responsibility. Chapter 1 and verse 5, he says this, talking about growing in virtue and graces. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, or self-control, and to temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read verse 9 in just a moment, but I want to say this. How do you think that we, when we come together or we're in public, doesn't matter really where we are, but how do you think we express kindness or brotherly kindness? How do you think we're kind to one another? The Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. But this is something that we have to work on, being kind, isn't it? Because you get out in this world and the world isn't always fair and things don't always go right. And you come to church and somebody says something or doesn't say something to you. And what happens sometimes? May not want to be kind. May want to lash back at someone or in the workplace, on the job. And so he tells us to add these things. Add, give diligence. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Another one is patience. Someone said, Lord, please give me patience. Well, how do you think you want to get patience? We would love it if we all just had this moment where our minds was enlarged and we're just able to handle life, and yawn and be at perfect peace. But you know, patience comes through adversity. Patience comes through trials. And that's what James says in James chapter number 1. But patience, brotherly kindness, I'm just hitting these as I see them. Temperance, self-control. How do you think someone learns self-control? By overindulgence or by losing their cool. And then because of that, they learn self-control. Isn't always failure, but failure is a good teacher. So we see here that we're to, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance. Into temperance, patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, who is lacking that control, lacking that brotherly kindness, the Bible says that, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, in verse number 9, he says he is blind and cannot see afar off. I have, with my eyes, we came in tonight, Miss Glenda talking about her cataract surgery she's going to have here soon. I have what they call being nearsighted. Now, when you say someone's nearsighted, my first thought is they can't see near. But it's the opposite. I can see near, but I can't see far. And so I'm nearsighted. That's what they tell me anyway. And so if I was farsighted, that means that I can see far away, but I can't see near. Is how I gather it to be. And so he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so I got to have glasses, I got to have contacts to be able to see correctly. And for this person here, he's saying that this is a believer. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that He was purged from his old sins. He has forgotten. He's forgotten something that happened. Can a person lose sight of the cross? Can a person lose sight of the price that was paid for them? Can they become in such a way spiritually where they're blind to what God has done and forgotten about the cross and the blood and drifted and got out in the world and backslid? Can that happen? Yes, that can happen. You know that can happen. And I want to tell you, the devil's using a lot of things to get people out of church nowadays. And I want to be careful what I say, because there's some that do this, allow their kids to do this. And I'm not talking about everybody, but I'll just say this, that the devil has used ball to get people out of church. I'm going to tell you, has used ball and basketball, baseball. There's nothing wrong with that. I've just got through talking about it, about baseball. But the devil, I say the devil has used it, because the devil is using it to get families out of church that once were in church on Sundays. And that's the truth. And so they get to a place where they've forgotten how precious that blood was that cleansed their soul. They forgot how precious the cross was. They just forgot how precious church was and how it felt to hear God's word preached and to sing in the choir and to respond to the message and to celebrate with other church members. They're at a blinded state, and the devil loves to blind eyes of believers. Now, our hearts are not blind because we've been saved, but the devil can use distractions. He'll use anything to get people out of church. And one of the big things we're competing with is sports. It really is. Kids and sports, because much of them want to play their tournaments and games on Sunday. And so, Lord, help us in that area. All right, so we see here determination. And basically what he's saying is we've got to be determined. It's going to take determination to grow in virtue or excellence. It's going to take determination to grow in knowledge. It's going to take determination to grow in temperance or self-control. It's going to take determination to grow in patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. So Peter tells us tonight, back in our text verse, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's going to take time, responsibility, and determination. But I'm sure every one of you could preach this to me tonight and instruct me all about growth. And that's the message tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. It's been a good time tonight at your house. Although I was brief, I felt like it would be brief. But I pray, Lord, through my speech, Lord, and that you would just use your word. It will not return void. I pray something was said that was a help, even if it was just the statement about growth and how that it comes gradually and things take time, but we're to be diligent. Maybe that was what someone needed to hear tonight. We love you. We praise you. Meet with us on Sunday in a very mighty way. Save a soul. Bring one that's strayed back to the cross, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody got anything they want to add or say? Thank you for coming, and great crowd, like every Wednesday. Great, great crowd. Appreciate you, Brother Jeff, for the songs you sang for us. All right. Well, that's all we have. Class is dismissed. I like saying that.